The question today is, what was behind the manifestation of the Lord in the Scripture? We know the Lord has to manifest Himself for anything to happen. We go through the motions many times in our churches, and there's no manifestation of the Lord. I know He's omnipresent, but there has to be a manifestation of Him for any soul to be saved or for anything to be done. Now, after being asked that question, I began to think about it, and the Lord spoke to my heart one night and gave me some things to look at and some thoughts about this question. What was behind the manifestation of the Lord in the Scripture? I know He manifested Himself in power and glory. Many times they were just physical deliverances when He manifested them, but they picture spiritual deliverances as well. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, 2 Timothy 3:16 said. And I think the reason the Lord didn't go into a lot of details about those that were saved is He knew that we'd try to imitate those in our salvation experience and come up with something short of the real. So, what was behind the manifestation of the Lord in the Scriptures? If we was to ask some people, they'd probably say different things. And I want to deal with each of those things that people have a tendency to magnify that's required for the Lord to manifest Himself. And if you're not careful, you'll get in the ditch on those. But I'm going to look at several, and then we're going to go back and show you what really is behind all of them, what caused the manifestation of the Lord by the grace of God. I know it'd take more than one part to deal with this, but some people would say that crying out is what's necessary for the Lord to manifest Himself. And it's true that a lot of places in the Scripture, people cried out, and the Lord showed up and manifested Himself. One of those places in the book of Exodus, chapter number 2, verse number 24 through 25, 23 through 25, it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now, you realize they'd been crying, no doubt, for over 80 years because Moses is 80 years old at this time. And they were already in bondage 80 years before. But you see, it took some time for the people to get desperate, get to the place to where they're crying out, really caught the ear of God. Now, God knows all things. He saw them the first time they ever cried out. But yet they cried out, and it says that God heard that, and He looked at them and had respect unto them. And what did He do? Of course, He manifested Himself, first of all, to Moses, the leader at the backside of the desert, at the burning bush. In Exodus chapter 3, verse number 9 and 10, he said, "Now therefore, behold," this is after he met the Lord at the burning bush there, but he said, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up unto me, or come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherein the Egyptian oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." So you see, God manifested Himself to Moses, sent him down to work a work in the midst of Egypt. Because of the crying out, God manifested Himself to Moses, and He's going to manifest Himself in Egypt. Now Moses, when he got down there, he had to find out what wouldn't work so he could find out what would. When he said, "Let my people go," of course Pharaoh hardened his heart. He hardened his heart first, and I know the Bible said God hardened his heart. But the reason God hardened his heart, He put demands upon him that he was not willing to meet. And so as a result, He hardened His own heart. Light rejected eventually will harden your heart and cause you to get harder day by day. But Moses said, "Let my people go." And he performed many miracles God did there. That wasn't Moses who did them. He was just a human instrument, held up the rod, and the river Nile turned to blood, and much of the blood water was turned to blood. But yet still, maybe the people thought, well, we're going to get out. Maybe Moses thought this is going to cause him to wake up, and he'll let the people go. But see, he had to find out what wouldn't work so he could find out what would. And that's the truth of salvation. You're going to have to find out what won't work so you find out what will. Of course, then there came the second plague of the frogs everywhere. And yet when Pharaoh entreated Moses to get rid of the frogs, Moses said, "Okay, when?" He said, "Tomorrow." He went one more night with those frogs. And then the third plague was lice, and then the fourth was flies. Then there was murine on cattle, and sore boils on men, fire mingled with hail, locusts, darkness that you could feel. But yet and still, all those nine plagues, all those moves of God didn't cause Pharaoh's heart to let the people go. But then God killed the firstborn in the house where the blood wasn't applied. And in Exodus chapter 12, He told him, take the blood, put it on the doorpost and on the lintels. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And so the people cried out, and the Lord manifested Himself to Moses, manifested Himself in Egypt, and delivered the people out of the out of Egypt that day, because the blood let them go at that particular time. Another place in the New Testament, we find Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus is who we referred to him. He cried out. Mark chapter 10, verse number 47, he said, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, talking about passing by, he cried, began to cry out and said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us. In other words, he was crying out to the Son of God. No doubt, before that time, if you go back and study his life, and part of it's not even recorded, but you'll find out, no doubt, that he had to find out what wouldn't work so he could find out what would. No doubt he'd cried out to the doctors, and that didn't help. He'd cried out to others, and that didn't help. He cried out till his motive got right, and then Jesus passed by. And this time when he cried, the Lord manifested himself in power and healed blind Bartimaeus. So some people say that behind every manifestation of Jesus, you've got to cry out to get him to manifest himself. Well, there may be, but there's other times in the Scripture, and other people may say, I tell you what it is behind the manifestation of the Lord Jesus is that fasting. You've got to fast. That's what you've got to do. And they use, and may use different places in the Bible, but the one I'd like to use is in the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verse number 4 through 10. There's a man by the name of Jonah that went for a whale ride, submarine ride, I guess you could say, because it was a God-called storm in his life. And whenever he got out of that whale, and when God spoke to him the second time, he said, go to Nineveh, that great city, and tell him, and bid thee the saying that I tell thee. And he had just a short sentence that he had to do. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Well, what happened when he went in that city, he began to cry out. And the Bible said in verse number 4 of chapter 3, he said, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. In other words, they fasted and they prayed. The king said, proclaim the day of fast, wouldn't even let the animals eat. And also they cried out as well. But yet the main thing that we see here is the fasting. So whenever they fasted, God manifested himself and didn't send judgment upon them. In fact, it was 150 years before Nineveh fell to the judgment of God, because the king said, just maybe God would hear and answer if we'll fast. And they did, and God heard. God manifested himself. Some others say it's not crying out, it's not fasting. They'll say it's faith. That's what's really going to have. We're living this side of the cross, it's just faith. You've just got to have faith. Well, there were four men one time in the book of Mark chapter 2 that was paralytic. I mean, he was crippled. What happened, the four men picked up his pallet, I guess, and say, and picked him up and carried him to the house where he was at in Mark chapter 2. And when they got there were so many people around the outside that they couldn't even get in the door. And so as a result, they went up on the rooftop. Now, they didn't have to have a ladder, because most of the houses in those days was flat roof, and they had a step going up on the outside, up on the flat roof, where people would go up there in the night and sleep when it was cool. The roof, of course, was covered with just dirt and mud and caked, and maybe some kind of leaves or things involved in that. But at least they went up on top of the house, and the Bible said in Matthew, he tore up the roof, off the roof, and let this paralytic down at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible said in Mark 2:5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. In other words, he saw their faith. Now I know the man that was on the pallet had faith. But I believe these other four men had faith, and as they went there and tore off the roof, like you would say, and had victory at that particular time. And so as a result, some said, that's what you got to have. You've got to have faith, because look, Mark chapter 2, Jesus manifested himself, healed that man, saved that man, all because the men that carried him had faith, as well as the man. So they say it's faith. And then others will say, well, I tell you what it is, it's singing and praising, shouting and praising God. That's what we've got to do. We've just got to get beside ourselves in that. And they used Jehoshaphat, or I'd use Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, over how he was besieged, of course. The southern kingdom was besieged by the Moabites and the Ammonites and Mount Seir. They were outnumbered. In other words, didn't look like they was going to get delivered. But what did they do? Well, God spoke to their hearts and told them something. And what he told them to do, they obeyed God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 15. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord God, or the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. No, so the Lord had instructed them what to do. And this is what they did, verses 21 and 22. He said, and when he had consulted with the people, king, talking about the king, obeying the Lord now, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that those that should praise the beauty of holiness, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. They all died that day, and the children of Israel never had to lift up a weapon, if you please. The Lord did it. But they praised and they sung that day. And the Bible said in verse number 25, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. So we see they had victory. The Lord, they sang and they praised the Lord, and the Lord manifested himself. So what's necessary? Well, whatever God says is what we've got to do. And therefore, we'll get that in another part next time. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.